Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And we are going through the Kentucky resolution still. And next up will be the Virginia resolutions. And then all of the details as to why these resolutions were so important. If there was ever a point in time, welcome back, Paul. If there was ever a point in time,
yeah, thank you,
that the framers actually did something that kind of was equivalent to in emergencies break glass. You know, this is right. It. I mean, this is probably the one thing where they really go through, what do you do when the federal government goes beyond its delegated powers? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're covering here, folks. And that's why this is all so important. And so this actually helps. I think it helps you start peeling back, you know, where the powers really lie and help you understand Republic review. So I think we left off with Resolution 6, right? Because I think that's right. What we're going to just dive into. And then Resolution 7 is pretty powerful. But let's go ahead and get into 7, or I mean 6, which will take us to 7 and 8. I think it ends up with 8 or 9. But anyhow, we're almost done with this. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, so Resolution 6, resolved that the imprisonment of a person under the protection of the laws of this Commonwealth on his failure to obey the simple order of the President to depart out of the United States is as undertaken by said act entitled, quote, an act concerning aliens, end quote, is contrary to the Constitution. One amendment to which has provided that, quote, no person shall be deprived of liberty without due process of law, end quote, and that another having provided that, quote, in all criminal prosecutions the accused shall enjoy the right to public trial by an impartial jury, to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining the witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense, end quote. The same act undertaking to authorize the President to remove a person out of the United States who is under the protection of the law on his own suspicion, without accusation, without jury, without public trial, without confrontation of the witnesses against him, without hearing witnesses in his favor, without defense, without counsel, is contrary to the provision also of the Constitution and is therefore not law, but utterly void and of no force. That transferring the power of judging any person who is under the protection of the laws from the courts to the President of the United States, as is undertaken by the same act concerning aliens, is against the article of the Constitution, which provides that, quote, the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in courts, the judges of which shall hold their offices during good behavior, end quote. And that the said act is void for that reason also. And it is further to be noted that this transfer of judiciary power is to that magistrate of the general government who already possesses all the executive and a negative on all legislative powers. Okay, so something I notice here, Jefferson used the term magistrate.
Uh-huh.
But one of the questions that comes up now in this term is he is referring, when he uses the term magistrate, he's referring to the President, correct? Magistrate of the general government who already possesses all of the executive and a negative on all legislative powers.
That's true. Right? Yep. Yep. He's looking at the by definition, the magistrate is actually it's the king. It is the person that has all powers vested. But under the Constitution, the President has some nugatory powers over legislation. In other words, the President is responsible to actually veto acts, laws, what have you, that violate the Constitution.
Right.
So in other words,
let me ask.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. In other words, I want you to finish your thought, and then I'll go ahead.
So, in other words, if a president actually, so this is kind of like not a catch-22, but it's kind of like, what do you do? And I, so if I move the curtain a little bit to give you a peek, what happens when you have a corrupt collusion between Congress and the president in allowing a bad law to be signed?
Well, so Jefferson and Madison are trying to address that right here.
Yeah, kind right? of. Because, see, bottom line, they're going after holding Congress accountable, and they're trying to get the holding the federal government accountable. However, what do you do about the president? So, in other words, it takes a long we have a long row to hoe to actually get through, well, first off, the counties, get through the states, and then get Congress, because only Congress has the power, or I should say, not necessarily the power, but only Congress has the role and responsibility to defund and decommission unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, powers, and property. In other words, the president just can't sell these things off. He can't basically, you know, turn the lights off. Congress has to defund and actually release, you know, those buildings. They have, you know, they have this responsibility of decommissioning and disbanding all unconstitutional government. The president doesn't have that power. So, okay, right. So now that we finally got Congress to behave and we've removed members of Congress that it has been necessary to actually get them to do their job through the Republic Review process, the problem that we still have is we can't hold the president accountable. The states don't have a mechanism other than basically saying, you know, telling the Congress that they have to impeach the president. It is still, that is still a discretion, because impeachment is, again, whether they impeach or not impeach, I mean, it's holding him accountable. In other words, we really don't have a mechanism that for the states to actually go after the president. So this is, I think, a shortcoming, because we do have the ability to go after Congress. And I honestly believe that because we now see how the states with immediate access and understanding who did what, where the bodies are buried, that type of stuff, where we can get to that data, I honestly see the necessity in giving the states the ability to step forward and say, you must impeach this man. In other words, direct.
Right now.
Go ahead.
Okay. So right now the states don't have that. But the people through the House have that, correct?
The people through the House have that, and then the Senate will try that. But to get them, so if you look at Republic Review dismantles this Leviathan, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hold the president accountable. You know, if the president right now is actually going around and trying to thwart and trying to use, you know, his executive powers and privileges and what have you to try to frustrate, what can the states do? The states really don't have a direct recourse directly with the president.
I think you're right.
And I honestly see that there needs to be a mechanism for the states to be able to hold all three branches accountable. See, the beautiful thing about the First Amendment petition at your county level is you can petition your sheriff, you can petition your county legislators, your representatives, commissioners, supervisors. You can even petition your judge. It says that the right of the people to petition government, it doesn't say just the legislative. It means anybody in government. If they're under the oath of office, you can hold them accountable to their oath, calling them out and saying you're violating your oath and you can't do this. Or you'll be found in, you know, in contempt or, you know, perjuring yourself, and which means you cannot be in office anymore.
Okay.
Now, getting to enforce that is really tough until we actually get, you know, our lawmakers to actually step forward and say, you know what, people, we need to make it easier for you to come after us. You know, this is not something that anybody wants to do. As a matter of fact, you know, anybody that's in charge, you know, if you take over, you're the king or what have you, say, you know what, I want you to be able to take away all my power if I become a bad person. Who wants to do that? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And people that are in the position of power do not want to give up any of their power to somebody to be able to hold them accountable.
Right.
And so we, the people, have to demand our ability of being able to hold them accountable without having to use the ballot box to removing them at the county level. So eventually, if that's what we have to do at first. We have to use the ballot box, but we have to get people to run their campaigns on saying, I am going to empower you, the people, we, the people, in holding me and all of us accountable. We're going to make a law, you know, at this county that if the people call out that we have violated our oath, that, you know, at the county level, then we will immediately suspend ourselves. Whoever is in that position will immediately be suspended, and a common law court will convene in determining whether that has been done, or a common law grand jury. I don't know if we need to go necessarily into a grand jury unless, you know, it becomes, you know, a bigger issue, right? I think it's just a matter of saying, yep, it's a clear-cut case. This guy violated his oath. So did I kind of answer your question that one of the problems?
You answered that question.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. What's the other question I didn't answer?
There was the other question. And here's where we're referring to friends. What is it? Alien friends. Uh-huh. Because it appears that alien friends, and I guess they're speaking of French specifically, as you pointed out, that there is an implication here that aliens have the same rights that citizens do. Do you understand where I'm going with this? And so what concerns me is if we have – okay, let's put it – here's
– Hold on here. How do you garner that an alien friend has any more rights – than any other alien? And how do you garner that they have the rights of a citizen?
Well, he's speaking here of the – he's referring specifically to rights that are in the Bill of Rights. And so what occurs to me is this, not that they have more rights than a citizen, but let's say our alien friends are our guests here. Why would we treat them as if they have no rights? On the other hand, there are guests here because they've come through our... What I'm trying to do is distinguish between aliens, GR, and invaders. Because I see this argument...
Oh, okay. That's simple.
You see what I'm saying?
But that's simple. Okay. So an alien friend or a migrant, a citizen from a friendly country or a citizen visiting, those people who we're talking about are people who actually came through or entered into America following the process of entry.
Right. Whatever that process is, uniform process.
Right. In other words, they came through and reported themselves, I'm getting off the ship, I'm from France, and, you know, I'm just visiting, you know, and or I'll be here for doing work or for whatever reason. Back in those days, it was a little bit more lax than today, a lot more lax in some respects. But, I mean, in today, it's just like we're turning our head towards invaders. But an invader is somebody that comes into the country without anybody knowing that they entered into the country and that they're hiding, you know, in the country. They're trespassing. They have not entered based on the law.
Based on the uniform process or whatever the law is.
Whatever the law is of the time. Correct. Yes. Okay.
So, right. That was the basis for my question, because he's referring to alien friends and then referring to parts of the Bill of Rights that apply to aliens as if, you know, as well, essentially they're alien friends. And the way we distinguish it is that they have followed the law to come in the country and invaders have not.
Correct. So, and again, invaders are coming in bypassing that process. In other words, they're making a decision to just come here and violate the law. Whether they're in collusion with our corrupt government doesn't matter. Our government didn't have the authority to bring him in. It's just like the refugees. Our government doesn't have the authority to bring in a block group of people.
Right.
They just don't have that power. The states have never delegated to allow them to do that, because if so, then we could easily see, you know, an enemy getting into government and allowing, you know, a bunch of, you know, people who are enemies of the Constitution. Let's say, you know, this X group of people are want to overthrow our Constitution, and you get that person to start bringing these people in. Because we're granting them under this, you know, auspices of a refugee status, they don't have that authority. They don't have the authority to bring people in for refugees. It's just not they have a standard of migration. That is what is enumerated in Article 1, Section 9, that the federal government inherited. They have the right of the migration of people, managing the migration of people, not bringing countries in. If they bring a country in, that would be admitting a state into the union, which would have a different set of parameters.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely. So that was the basis of my question. Okay. So we did number six, right?
Yes, we just finished number six. And now number seven, setting this up. Now number seven, this is where, it's number eight, because I see the highlights in eight. Okay, so seven, go ahead. He's still kind of auditing the Constitution. Go ahead.
All right, resolved. That the construction applied by the general government, as is evidenced by sundry of their proceedings, to those parts of the Constitution of the United States which delegate to Congress a power, quote, to lay and collect taxes, duties, imports, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, end quote, and, quote, to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the powers vested by the Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof, end quote, goes to the destruction of all limits prescribed to their powers by the Constitution. That words meant by the instrument to be subsidiary only to the execution of limited powers ought not to be so construed as themselves to give unlimited powers, nor a part to be so taken as to destroy the whole residue of that instrument. That the proceedings of the general government under color of these articles will be a fit and necessary subject of reversal and correction at a time of greater tranquility, while those specified in the preceding resolutions call for immediate redress. Now, this sounds actually like what Madison said in the cod fishery boundaries.
Yes.
Bounties. Okay. Mm-hmm. So number eight.
So number eight. Now let me set the stage here. So he's basically kind of wrapped up his audit. Okay. So now that I've proven, this is Jefferson basically speaking, or, you know, he is projecting himself for the Kentucky legislature, which basically rubber stamped this. And so what he's saying is, now that I've proven how these acts violate the Constitution and how, you know, they don't have the authority to do this, this is what we have to do. And so that's what he says.
This is really long, too. We've got a break, right?
Yep, we got a break. Okay.
All right, so here we go. A, resolved that a committee of conference and correspondence be appointed who shall have in charge to communicate the preceding resolutions to the legislatures of the several states. to assure them that this Commonwealth continues in the same esteem of their friendship and union, which it has manifested from that moment at which a common danger first suggested a common union, that it considers union for specified national purposes, and particularly to those specified in their late federal compact, to be friendly to the peace, happiness, and prosperity of all the states. That faithful to that compact, according to the plain intent and meaning in which it was understood and acceded to by the several states, it is sincerely anxious for its preservation, that it does also believe that to take from the states all the powers of self-government and transfer them to a general and consolidated government without regard to the special delegations and reservations solemnly agreed to in that compact is not for the peace, happiness, or prosperity of these states. And that therefore this Commonwealth is determined, as it doubts not its co-states are, to submit to undelegated and consequently unlimited powers in no man or body of men on earth, that in cases of an abuse of the delegated powers, the members of the general government being chosen by the people, a change by the people would be the constitutional remedy. But where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of the act is the rightful remedy, that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact, cases non feudoris, deris, I guess that's Latin, to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of power by others within their limits. Can I pause here for a minute?
Yep, go ahead.
Because he's using the word nullify.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think he's going to be more specific here, but I know that there are people going to latch on to nullify. But
right.
he is speaking to all of the states. He's inviting them.
Right, that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact to nullify their own authority. All assumptions. So this is what I talk about. This is what I said at the very beginning. When the federal government crosses the line, before they start implementing and before the states, so the states have a choice. They can go along with it or they can say no. And so what he's basically doing is he's calling the states to stand up and say, we collectively need to nullify this.
Collectively.
And so we'll get into this in Madison's reports. Right now, they're just trying to communicate. And, you know, so now that we're kind of taking a break here, we got a minute. Let me kind of jump and kind of mark exactly where we are. It's right there by the casus non federis. The Latin. The first thing he says is, okay, so this is what we need to do. He says that a committee of conference and correspondence be appointed. That's the committee that prepared the colonies to go into war.
Okay.
In other words, that was the, you know, they started creating their local committees of safety. And then they said, okay, now we need to create a central committee of conference and correspondence so that we can start coordinating what we, the states, are going to do. See, in other words, he didn't say, let's just nullify. He basically says, we need to come together to nullify. Big difference. He's calling upon the states to actually join together and communicate the preceding resolutions to the legislatures of the several states. And then if you jump down to the next red part, that faithful to the compact, according to the plain intent and meaning in which it was understood and acceded to by the several parties, it is sincerely anxious for its preservation, that it does also believe that to take from the states all the powers of self-government and transfer them to the general government and consolidated government without regard to those special delegations or reservations, then he basically says, then, you know, all things are going to be lost. And so right here is where we go into break. And so... Well, folks, hang in there, Paul. And folks, we're going to be right back after this promo so that we can kind of pick this up again. But the whole point is when he's talking about nullifying here, he's talking about the states collectively doing this together, not doing it individually. But he doesn't really state that. And I think that kind of gets lost in the details of what he's covering. We'll be right back after this.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we just went into break, so I'm sorry about that, Paul, but is this starting to make sense? I mean, this is the one point where it actually uses the N-word, right?
And really?
Well, yeah.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, so... Okay.
I haven't gotten there yet, so I hadn't seen it. So,
well, hold on here.
We're gonna.
So, okay. What do you mean? You already read it. You're the one that read the N-word.
When?
Well, did you not read that part that basically says a nullification of this act is the rightful remedy?
Yes.
So that's the N-word, the nullification. Right. I mean.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jerry. I was thinking something else when you said that.
Yeah, okay. So who says I'm not funny? My wife says that. My wife says I'm not funny. And I've got a good giggle out of Paul. So
okay, you're right. So yes, nullification. Yes, that N word. Okay.
Okay. So now let me kind of explain why that's both funny and why it's, you know, it is a derogatory word to me, because okay. The concept of nullification, single state nullification, becomes a perverted doctrine. And Madison actually starts dedicating the last days of his life. And the notes of nullification came in 1834, just a few years. I think he died in 38 or 39. So it was like 5-6 years later he dies. But this is one of the last things he really wants to impress upon the American people, that no, a single state cannot nullify, you know, a law, you know, on its own, that they have to get the parties. And he really emphasizes that, which is why we're going to go through all of these documents, because
great.
Because nullification, as he literally points out, creates chaos. And let's look at it this way, folks. There is, let's just say, 100 ways the federal government is violating the Constitution. And let's say each state chooses a specific thing, but not the same thing, that they want to nullify. Which means that in right. this state, they're nullifying these laws, or this, you know, this thing that they're doing. And in this state, it's something different. Now, how do we know, you know, who's doing what? And it creates this inconsistency and chaos. This is why when the states came together, when they accepted this marriage, on equal terms, mm-hmm. that they would all basically, grant power to create this thing, and that they were all going to follow the guise of the Constitution, and this federal government kind of driving the car, which is the Constitution. Now, the federal government, they've been driving. They've opened the doors. They've built a deck to widen the cars. I mean, they've extended it. They've got this huge right. city on wheels now.
Right.
And sure. none of it is legitimate. And it caused all these other problems. And because of these problems, they've had to usurp more powers. I mean, it's a nightmare. And we can't go along and start cherry picking what we don't like and what, you know, and they cherry pick what they don't like. We all have to work together as the parties to the compact to actually give the compact its merit and due in working as the parents in the room to say that we've got to reel this child in.
Right.
And so anyway, all right. So I think you just read the second N-word, to nullify their own authority, all assumptions. Now, he's talking about that every state has a natural right in cases not within the compact to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of powers by others within their limits, that without this right, they would be under the dominion, absolute and unlimited. So he's saying...
So what is it?
Go ahead. Okay. Keep going.
Go ahead.
What he's saying
now, right now, he's saying that they've got a right to nullify something. Let's specify what the something is.
So in this case, right? It's the Alien and Sedition Acts. He's talking about that you have a right to do this. However, if the other states don't come along then, and you nullify, you don't have a right to stay in the marriage. In other words, you know, if somebody... He actually does not say this. And as a matter of fact, even Madison doesn't say this until the concept of nullification gets perverted into single state. Mm-hmm. And so, because we all have to work collectively, we're all in this together. And the whole point was, it was just, as far as they were concerned, it was just common knowledge that they all had to nullify. He didn't really specify, which is why what he says here gets easily perverted and goes down this path of, you know, oh, well, each state can nullify because we have this, you know, this right and responsibility, but they don't understand that if they do, they need to secede from the union if they're the only ones doing it. Bottom line is there's the consequence. I mean, you know, is what you're dealing with, the measure, bad enough to say, we're out, folks. We're not going to do this anymore. And that's what caused the South to secede.
Okay.
So,
Go on. So to nullify of their own authority all assumptions of power by others within their limits, that without this right, they would be under the dominion, absolute and unlimited, of whosoever might exercise this right of judgment for them. That nevertheless, this Commonwealth, from motives of regard and respect for its co-states, has wished to communicate with them on this subject, that with them alone it is power to communicate, they alone being parties to the compact, and solely authorized to judge in the last resort of the powers exercised under it, Congress not being a party, but merely a creature of the compact and subject as to its assumptions of power to the final judgment of those by whom and for whose use itself and its powers were all created and modified, that if the acts before specified should stand, these conclusions would flow from them, that the general government may place an act they think proper on the list of crimes and punish it themselves, whether enumerated or not enumerated by the Constitution as cognizable by them, that they may transfer its cognizance to the president or any other person who may himself be the accuser, counsel, judge, and jury, whose suspicions may be the existence, his order, the sentence, his officer, the executioner, and his breast the sole record of the transaction, that a very numerous and valuable description of the inhabitants of these states being by this president reduced as outlaws to the absolute dominion of one man, and the barrier of the Constitution thus swept away from us all, no ramparts now remains against the passions and the powers of majority in Congress to protect from a like exportation or other more grievous punishment the minority of the same body, the legislatures, judges, governors, and counselors of the states, nor their other peaceable inhabitants who may venture to reclaim the constitutional rights and liberties of the states and people, or who for other causes, good or bad, may be obnoxious to their views or marked by the suspicions of the president or be thought dangerous to his or their election or other interests, public or personal, that the friendliest alien has indeed been selected as the safest subject of a first experiment, but the citizen will soon follow, or rather has already followed, for already has a sedition act marked him as its prey, that these and successive acts of the same character, unless arrested at the threshold, necessarily drive these states into revolution and blood and will furnish new calumnies against Republican government and new pretexts for those who wish it to be believed that man cannot be governed but by a rod of iron, that it would be a dangerous delusion worth a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. The confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism. Free government is founded in jealousy and not in confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down those whom we are obliged to trust with power, that our constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which and no further our confidence may go. And let the honest advocate of confidence read the Aliens and Sedition Acts and say if the constitution has not been wise in fixing limits to the government it created, and whether we should be wise in destroying those limits. Let him say what the government is, if it be not a tyranny, which the men of our choice have con-erred on our president. I'm not sure what that is. That might be a typo. And the president of our choice has ascended to and accepted over the friendly stranger to whom the mild spirit of our country and its law have pledged hospitality and protection, that the men of our choice have more respected the bare suspicion of the president than the solid right of innocence, the claims of justification, the sacred force of truth, and the forms of substance of law and justice. Okay, I got to make a remark here.
Okay, yeah.
That was from the beginning of this resolution until that point, that was one sentence.
Okay.
That was a period. And everything I just read was one sentence.
Yes.
Okay. And so he wanted to get everything in this one sentence, and that sentence is a page and a half.
Yes. There you go.
All right. So I just thought I would point that out.
Right.
All right. So I'll go on.
Uh-huh. Huh? I'm completely aware of that. I am not the run-on sentence king. I've actually used a punctuation of a period, exclamation point, question mark, something, and I've never gone well over a page like this. I mean, this is, you're right, absolutely.
I've read Washington is hard to read because it's like he doesn't take a breath, but this is a wow. Okay. So let me go ahead and wrap this up. In questions of powers, then let no more be heard of confidence in man. I just quoted this the other day. But bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. That this Commonwealth does therefore call on its co-states for an expression of their sentiments on the acts concerning aliens and for the punishment of certain crimes herein before specified, plainly declaring whether these acts are or are not authorized by the federal government, and it doubts not that their sense will be so announced as to prove their attachment unaltered to limited government, whether general or particular, and that the rights and liberties of their co-states will be exposed to no dangers by remaining embarked in a common bottom with their own. That they will concur with this Commonwealth in considering the said acts as so palpably against the Constitution as to amount to an undisguised declaration that that compact is not meant to be the measure of the powers of the general government, but that it will proceed in the exercise over these states of all powers whatsoever, that they will view this as seizing the rights of the states and consolidating them in the hands of the general government with a power assumed to bind the states, not merely as the cases made federal, casus federis, but in all cases whatsoever, by laws made not with their consent, but by others against their consent, that this would be to surrender the form of government we have chosen and live under one deriving its powers from its own will and not from our authority, and that the co-states recurring to their natural right in cases not made federal will concur in declaring these acts void and of no force, and will each take measures of its own for providing that neither these acts nor any others of the general government not plainly and intentionally authorized by the Constitution shall be exercised within their respective territories. Whew. So what he's saying, what I'm getting here is, yes, he used the N-word more than once, but the entire focus of this resolution, this number 8, is that you can do this, but we need to do this together.
That's right.
This is what we need to do.
Yes.
That's what he said.
That we have to take the stand. Yes. And then so his final comment, resolved that the said committee, the committees of conference and correspondence, be authorized to communicate by writing or personal court conference at any times or place whatever with any person or persons who may be appointed by any one or more co-states to correspond or confer with them, and that they lay their proceedings before the next session of assembly. Because, again, this is in October, right? And so he's basically saying that it may be a half year or so before you get to this. But please, let's start communicating as soon as possible. That's the exigencies of the day.
Now, the exigencies of the day, and he's saying to communicate, but this isn't the same as the states making a compact with each other, which is prohibited. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. Right. What they're doing is they're coalescing to basically confer, has their compact been violated? They're not creating a new constitution. They're basically reviewing and judging whether their constitution's been, violated. And so, so let's try to get into the next one, which is Madison's Virginia resolution.
And I've got that one open, so hang on.
All right.
While we're going to that really quick, I want to address something that I think it is a compact between the states, and I think you've probably heard about this, and it's called the National Popular Vote.
Yes, that is a compact. It's a violation of the Constitution, and the compact itself directly violates the Constitution by ignoring the Electoral College and not following the Electoral College period.
Okay, I wanted to bring that up. It just seems to be a popular thing, but the behavior, the action is actually null and void. It violates the Constitution. It has no real force.
Right.
And so I'm ready to go into James Madison because...
Okay, so real quick, because we got 10 minutes. So James Madison, as Jefferson sent that off, to Kentucky, Madison instantly went into the Virginia assembly, into the House of Representatives in the Virginia legislature, and said, look, we're going to be getting a resolution from Kentucky, and this is what we need to do. And he probably had a lead. He probably, if he did, he probably would have, copies of that would have come forth. But I think he understood the spirit, and he basically says, "This we need to respond in kind when we get this." And he started schooling these folks in the Virginia State Legislature how important it was that they be the protectors of the Constitution, and they step forward and actually pull the federal government back within back by the reins and back within the boundaries of the Constitution. So go ahead and let's just dive into this.
Okay. James Madison and the Virginia Resolution, number 1, resolved that the General Assembly of Virginia doth unequivocally express a firm resolution to maintain and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this state against every aggression, either foreign or domestic, and that they will support the government of the United States in all measures warranted by the former.
Okay, let me go on. I'm going to just dive in for most of these. And so here he's the shot across the bow. We are diehard supporting the Constitution, not the government. Go ahead.
Okay. That this assembly most solemnly declares a warm attachment to the union of the states, to maintain which it pledges all its powers, and that for this end it is their duty to watch over and oppose every infraction of those principles which constitute the only basis of that union, because a faithful observance of them can alone secure its existence and the public happiness.
That all makes sense, but he's basically saying that the whole reason the union exists is because of that Constitution, and it's their duty to watch over and oppose every infraction of that Constitution. So go ahead. Next one.
Okay. Three, that this assembly doth explicitly and preemptorily declare that it views the powers of the federal government as resulting from the compact to which the states are parties as limited by the plain sense and intention of the instrument constituting the compact as no further valid, that they are authorized by the grants enumerated in that compact, and that in case of a deliberate, palpable and dangerous exercise of other powers not granted by the said compact, the states who are parties thereto have the right and are in duty bound to interpose for arresting the progress of the evil and for maintaining within their respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them.
And so what the key of what he basically said is that very last part of this, that in cases of deliberate and palpable or blatant and dangerous exercises of powers not granted by that Constitution, that the states who are parties thereto have the right and are duty bound to interpose. So instead of saying nullification, he's saying they have to do what is necessary to actually force the federal government into compliance. That's a lot bigger than just nullifying. Go ahead.
Four, that the General Assembly doth express its deep regret that a spirit has in sundry instances been manifested by the federal government to enlarge its powers by forced constructions of the constitutional charter which defines them, and that implications have appeared of a design to expound certain general phrases which have been copied from the very limited grant of power in the former Articles of Confederation, were the less liable to be misconstrued, so as to destroy the meaning and effect of the particular enumeration which necessarily explains and limits the general phrases, and so as to consolidate the states by degrees into one sovereignty, the obvious tendency and inevitable consequence of which would be to transform the present republican system of the United States into an absolute or at best a mixed monarchy.
Okay, so he's basically, you know, just kind of covering that this is bad and we need to move forward. So the next, I'll let you go through that and then go into the sixth resolutions. Go ahead and do the next two.
So go straight to five and six, okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That the General Assembly doth particularly protest against the palpable and alarming infractions of the Constitution in the two late cases of the, quote, Alien and Sedition Acts, end quote, passed at the last session of Congress, the first of which exercises a power nowhere delegated to the federal government, and which, by uniting legislative and judicial powers to those of executive, subverts the general principles of free government, as well as the particular organization and positive provisions of the federal Constitution, and the other of which acts exercise in like manner a power not delegated by the Constitution, but on the contrary, expressly and positively forbidden by one of the amendments thereto, a power which more than any other ought to produce universal alarm, because it is leveled against that right of freely examining public characters and measures and of free communication among the people thereon, which has ever been justly deemed the only effectual guardian of every other right. Six, that this state, having by its convention which ratified the federal government, expressly declared that among other essential rights, quote, the liberty of conscience and of the press cannot be canceled, abridged, restrained, or modified by any authority of the United States, end quote. And from its extreme anxiety to guard these rights from every possible attack of sophistry or ambition, having with other states, recommended an amendment for that purpose, which amendment was in due time annexed to the Constitution, it would mark a reproachable inconsistency and criminal degeneracy if an indifference were now shown to the most palpable violation of one of the rights thus declared and secured and to the establishment of a precedent which may be fatal to the other.
In other words,
he's not mincing any.
No, he's not. And he's basically saying that their violation of the First Amendment rights of the people, this includes the right of petition and assembly. Folks, we just saw this tyranny. The January 6, 2021 is a big part of this. Okay, so let's go ahead and get 7 and 8 out of the way, and I'll try to cover the. Go ahead, cover it later.
Okay, 7. That the good people of this Commonwealth, having ever felt and continuing to feel the most sincere affection for their brethren of the other states, the truest anxiety for establishment and perpetuation of the union of all, and the most scrupulous, honorable fidelity to that Constitution, which is the pledge of mutual friendship and the instrument of mutual happiness, the General Assembly does solemnly appeal to the like dispositions of the other states in confidence that they will concur with this Commonwealth in declaring, as it does hereby declare, that the acts aforesaid are unconstitutional, and that the necessary and proper measures will be taken by each for cooperating with this state in maintaining the authorities, rights, and liberties referred to the states respectively or to the people, that the governor be desired to transmit a copy of the foregoing resolutions to the executive authority of each of the other states with a request that the same may be communicated to the legislature thereof, and that a copy be furnished to each of the senators and representatives representing this state in the Congress of the United States.
And so the key thing right here is this is what he says, that this General Assembly basically draws this line and basically calls out all the states to concur with this state in declaring, as this state declares, that these aforesaid acts are unconstitutional and that the necessary and proper measures will be taken by each, cooperating with this state in maintaining the authorities, rights, and liberties referred to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, that we all have to work together and that you will cooperate with all of us, that we will all cooperate in doing what we have to do. And so he's really putting it all together that the parties, the states themselves, have to cooperate.
These are precious, GR.
They are.
This is a precious history that we need to know about and be able to use today.
Right. And so next, when we have Paul back on Monday, because next week's Constitution Week, and actually it's the Constitution season. So because it's going to take more than a week or so to go through the Constitution. It's going to take us several weeks probably. But when Paul comes back on Monday, we're going to be diving into the Constitution. And so as we do that, we want to cover and highlight the parts of the Constitution that are being violated and how that's being done and what we need to do to actually, you know, get back to that framework or what have you. So thank you, Paul, again, as always, for contributing. I love it. And for expounding the definition of the N-word with me a little bit. Folks, you know, we've got a big mess to clean up. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.